Today's share in the Deir Shem Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Tzadi Beis Omud Beis. We're in the third volume of Mishneh Berurah. We are towards the end of Simin Shin Gimel, and we have one Mishneh Berurah from yesterday that I've got to continue with, and that is in Sif Yutes, the Mishneh Berurah Sif Katan Samaches. And the Mishneh Berurah writes that we were talking yesterday in the shir, Mayri B'machat She'enu Nekuva. We're talking there about a needle that didn't have a hole in it. She'esh lo kesher of Berosha, has a thick end on one side, and this is called Shekorin Shpilka, which is some sort of like a thick end. V'hu nikra Oketz, it's also known as the Oketz. V'ayidei She'nital Mimena, o She'nital Chuda, Nisbatu Mimena Shem Kli. And because you've taken away this piece, or you've taken away the sharp pointy end, either end, that no longer allows it to be classified as a kli, and therefore that's why we brought down from the Mechaber said yesterday that you have to tell women that they can't carry such a needle, they can't wear it even in their hair, unless they went and put it in there on Erev Shabbos, because that, so to say, designates it as being a kli. And the Mishneh Berurah continues, and he writes, V'ayin Mogen Avram Shecholek al Mechaber. The Mogen Avram disagrees with this opinion of the Mechaber, and he holds, Nihi tibimachat nekuva nisbatal shem kli ayidei shenital chudo chora. He says, with a needle that has a hole in it, so that type of a needle is lost the status of being a kli when you remove the ends. Kilul Kamen, as we'll learn in Simin Tzeshem, Simin Shin Ches, if you're Aleph. However, the machat she'ena nekuva, but with a needle that doesn't have a hole in it, lo nisbato shem kli mimena achi not lushdeim. Unless you take off both ends, dainu chuda, the pointy end, the uktza, and the dull, thicker end, unless you remove both ends, it still retains the status of being a kli. That's the opinion of Mogen Avraham. However, the Mishnah says, mikol makom le'inyan yichud me'erev Shabbos, in regards to designating from Erev Shabbos, everybody would agree, l'kula yama, mahani afilu b'machat nekuva v'nit lushdeim. As long as you're designating before Shabbos, everybody would agree that that's acceptable to remove its status from being muktzah and turning it into a kli. That really concludes Sif Yutes from yesterday. And now we can begin the very bottom line of Tzadi Beis Omud Aleph with Sif Chof. And the Mechaber tells us, Habonos Kitanos, young girls, Shenokvim Nazneim, that they would go pierce their ears, Kidei Loses Bem Nizomim Kishiyadlu, in order that they would be able to have earrings when they get older. So you're talking here about a young girl who has her ears pierced, but she doesn't yet have jewelry in it. So in order to make sure that the ear doesn't close up, Ukidei Shelo Yistatvim HaNikovim, Nosdim Hem Kisomim. And they would therefore, in order to ensure that the ear that's pierced doesn't close off, they would put inside of it some sort of little pieces of wood, little kisomim, little splinter slivers of wood, in order to maintain the patency of the pierced ear. So with these types of little slivers in their ears, they're allowed to go out on Shabbos. Likewise, if they put some sort of little string through those nekovim, that would also be permissible through the hole in the ear. As long as they're not colored, it's permissible to go out with them. Because if they're colored, we're concerned that they may take them off. They would be forbidden to be worn if they were colored. Mishneh Berurah explains in Sivkot and Samachtes, the Orach HaBohachi V'Lav Masuhu. It's normal for them to wear these slivers inside their ear or to put some sort of a ribbon through there because that's the way you maintain the patency, and therefore that's not considered a burden. But in Sivkot and Ayin, the Mishneh Berurah tells us that if they're colored, the Mechaber said it was no good, the Chashuvim Hem, because colored ribbons over here are much more important, and we are concerned with Duma Sholfa Umachvaya, that she will take them out and show them to her friends. The Mishneh Berurah continues, he says, Ayin b'mogin Avram shemitzadi lomar. The Mogen Avram, however, has the opinion, dafilu b'tzfuin ein lesor. Even with colored ribbons, there is no prohibition. Ki im b'sula shedarkili osos ne'am magulos. Except for a young girl who is not yet married. She's a b'sula. She's virginal. And therefore, in these situations, they would easily have their ears uncovered, and therefore it would be very easy to take the ribbon out of the ear and show it to a friend. Avol b'nesua, but a married girl, shedarkili osos ne'am magusos b'kishurin, where it was very customary that they would cover up their ears anyway. They would have some sort of a bundle around their ears. So ain dark leo shofu machvai. It's very difficult for them to go and take out the ribbon from the ear and show it to other people. The tri chalamilsa. It's a difficult thing to do. Ukamola inyan nizamin leel b'sif ches. We had this discussion a few days ago. We were talking about earrings that a woman, we're concerned, might take off her earring and show it to a friend, but not if she's a married woman, when they normally keep the ear covered. And he tells us as well, V'ayin b'bir halacha shubiyarti, if you look in the Dibur HaMaschil, Avol Amhim Tzvum Osir, in the Bir Halacha, the Chofetz Chaim there has a great arichos, the ladas kama rishonim, gabin esuwa osir b'chutim tzvum, that even according to some opinions, some rishonim, even a married girl, be forbidden to go out with the colored earrings, even though it normally is more difficult to take off, we still are concerned that she may come to show it to somebody and take it off. And at the end of this Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim writes, Tam l'nizmeya ozen demutim neshiyesh torech l'shalfen. That's because in regards to earrings, we said you're allowed to wear them because they would keep their ears covered and it was difficult to take it off. But these chutin sevuin, the Chafetz Chaim says, these colored ribbons, the kal litlon, are much easier to take out than the earrings, and therefore, chayshin undum u'shalfu machve. Therefore, we have to be concerned over here that the woman may come to take them out, even if she's a married woman. And therefore, there's no chiluk bein besulos l'nesuos, according to this opinion. And he concludes, ein lahokel afilu b'nesuah lotzeis b'chutim tzivonim. And the Chafetz Chaim Paskins over here, and this Tosos, the Smag, and the Reina Yerucham, that therefore one should not wear these colored ribbons in their ears that are pierced, even if they're married. Siv Chaf Aleph. The Mechaber writes, Yotzeis Isha Re'ula. A woman is allowed to go out wearing a veil over her face. V'hu Shema Tefes Korosha Chutz Me'haponim. The Gersa that we have, the Mechaber says, is that this is covering up her entire head with the exception of her face. So it's basically covering up her head and her sides of her head, but not her face. And in the Bir HaGola, it says, V'cheinu B'tur, that's the Gersa that Tur has. However, Rashi and the Aruch have a different Gersa over here, Chutz Me'ho'einayim, that the only thing that doesn't need to be covered up are her eyes. And this is, in fact, the Gersa that's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Ayin Aleph. We write in the Aruch and Rashi, he quotes the Aruch and Rashi that the Bir HaGola quoted, Isa Chutz Me'ho'einayim, it says that it's covering up everything but her eyes, somewhat like a burqa, that the eyes are the only thing that's not left uncovered. The gamzeh derech mabushu, and this is called, however, a normal way of wearing it, and that's why a woman can go out with such a type of a veil. Chafetz Chaim in Sharat Zion Osnun Ches says this is also the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, the zehu reula, when you're talking about just the eyes are the only part that is not covered up. Sivchav Beis, the Mechaber writes, Porefes. What does Porefes mean? So the Ramah tells us, Pirush Kosheris. A woman is allowed to tie Bishabis, alho egos vialho evin, shi chadito lekach viotzispo. Now, they didn't always have buttons and clasps like we have today. What they would do is, they would have, let's say, a shirt that needed to be closed. On one side, they would tie a egos, a walnut, or a stone to it. On the other side, they'd have a string, and they would keep them approximated to each other by wrapping the string from the right side, let's say, onto the stone and wrapping it around the stone or the egos that was on the left side of the garment. So that's what it means over here. Porefes b'shabas alo egos ve'alo evin sheyichadeto lekach v'yotzispo. Normally, a stone or walnut here would be muktza. So they had to designate it for this purpose, and therefore there is not a concern over here that you're just trying to do ba'arma, do some trickery to get the evin or the walnut from one house to another. But if you're using it over here to function as a button or a clasp, it's okay. But the Mechaber says, Abol al hamatbeya also lifrof b'shabas. But you can't use over here to wrap around the string a coin. That would be forbidden to go and tie a coin to one side and use that as the clasp. The lav bar tiltulhu v'lo mahani bo yichud, because that's something that's muktzah. You're not allowed to move it, and it doesn't help that you designate it because it's so muktzah, so to say, that you can't designate it for usage. However, the Mechaber continues, being powerful Allah of Erev Shabbos, but if you had used this coin already on Erev Shabbos as a clasp, then you would be allowed to go and use it even on Shabbos. And as we'll see, this means even if it comes off on Shabbos, you can still redo it again on Shabbos. Now let's see in the side of the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Nayin Beis. He writes, V'ainu shemisa tefes betalis sheyesh barosho echad ritzua. So as I mentioned, they have a garment. The talis here doesn't mean a talis like we have. It means a cloak of some sort. So on one side you have a string, the kosheris evin o egos barosha sheni. On the other side you put in a stone or a walnut. V'korechas haritzua be'evin o be'egos. And you wrap around the string, around the stone or the walnut, shelo yipol atalis me'aleh, in order to keep it attached to you. The lo merse kemisha miskavenis lotzio evin o egos. And this doesn't appear like you're trying to do a trick over here and carry the stone or the walnut in a permissible way. The no de lakoshi tzrich lakach, because everybody sees that you're using it over here to be a clasp. Mash enkein begargir melech to besif tesvav, as opposed to what we learned the other day. You can't go out with a gargar melech lechatrila on Shabbos to put in your mouth for bad breath, shein hakol yodim shitzrich lekach, because this piece of salt, it's not clear that you're using it for bad breath, and people think you're just trying to carry it from one place to another. And that's why we said over there that it is forbidden. Sivkot Nayin Gimel, unless you designated it as such miba o jom before Shabbos started. Di lav hochi, because if you didn't designate it till Shabbos, gama evin muktzah kimom ebe, because then the stone is also muktzah on Shabbos, just like a coin. Then he brings down the Kosu Achronim, the Mayri Kisha Evan Agula. This is talking about here where the stone is circular. The Orcha Bahochi Lifrofalov. In a circular stone, it's frequently used in this fashion. Lekach Mahani Boyichud. That's why you can designate a circular stone before Shabbos, Afilu Rak L'Shabbos Achas, even if you're only doing it for one Shabbos. Dishavut number 43 brings down a discussion whether you're able to ever designate something just for one Shabbos or it has to be designated for additional Shabbos, is Ayin Sham. However, the Mishnah Berurah continues, Avalim Eino Agula, if it's not a round stone, Lo Mahani Boyichud L'Shabbos Achas, then you can't designate it just for one Shabbos. Kemo Shekosav Simin Shinches, Si'if Chav Beis, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem when we get to Simin Shinches. Unless, in that situation, Elohim Ken Yichadol L'Kach L'Yolim, you have to do it for a permanent designation. And again, Dishah foot number 44 brings down, unless if you're regular lishtamish ba'bofen, if you regularly use it in this way, that would be the equivalent of designating it, and you wouldn't have to designate it for a long period of time. Shtei pamin, according to the Bach, would be enough. Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says, V'zeh mahani afilu b'mateya. You can actually designate even a coin if you're doing it in this fashion for a permanent usage, or that you regularly use it in this way, uki l'kameh, as we will learn. Sivkot 9 dalad, v'lo mahani boyichud, but normally a coin doesn't allow itself to be designated. Hainu l'shabbos achas, that's only when you're using it for a one-time basis. However, as we pointed out already, avolam yichud on the air of Shabbos le'inyon z'liolam, but if you designated even a coin for permanent usage in this fashion, gam b'matmeya mahani, then it would even be good for a coin, because the shuv ozu minei isur tiltu, because that essentially removes the muktzah aspect from it, the isur tiltu from it, and this is worked down in the Tosefah Shabbos and the Chidushei Rabbi Akiva Eger. The issue of number 45 brings down that the Chazon Ish disagreed with this opinion, and he felt that b'matbeya, kivin sheyesh lo tashmish kavua, since it's always able to be used as a coin, the fact that you're now temporarily using it, or even on a regular basis using it as a clasp over here, doesn't do anything for it, and it retains its status of a coin, and therefore, la'olam ein bato mimeno shem mukta. It will always retain the status of being mukta. Sivkot Ayin Hei, the Mishnah Berurah says that if you did this, however, on Erev Shabbos, in pure for love, Erev Shabbos, the mice imo'u levato minei shei mukta, then it would work because you have removed its mukta status even before Shabbos, so you designated in this fashion, and that is good. And in Sivkot Samach Beis, the Shaar HaTzion, the Chofetz Chaim points out from the Levushei Srod, the afopi shi sira me'abeged muteris lifro b'Shabbos. This is even if it became untied. You tied it before Shabbos, and then let's say Friday night you took it off, and now Shabbos morning you went and put it on again, that would still be acceptable, because once you did it one time before Erev Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, the Maisa Moel, that action demonstrated that you were not using it as a coin, the Nasa Mapea Kamo Kli O Malbush, and you've essentially turned the coin into a Kli O Malbush, and once it's not mukzah at the start of Shabbos, it's able to be used all Shabbos long. Now we go to Sif Chav Gimel. The Mechaber writes, in Maisa Tzricha Lahotzi Egos Livna, if a woman had to take out a walnut for her son, the Mishnah Berurah will point out the same halach applies to a man. They just use the more common situation where a woman might be taking it out for her son, but there's no difference over here between a man and a woman. So if this woman were to take out the egos for her son, or par for a love, kidei lotzio, and she has to figure out a way how to take the egos out for her son, so she turns it into a clasp over here, she attaches it to one side of a garment, and then uses the other string from the other side of the garment to wrap around it. So im l'rishus harabim osur. If she's going to carry this into rishus harabim, she's not allowed to do this. However, im l'karmelis, if it's only in isur d'rabbanan, then the rabbi said mutter. The rabbis didn't institute an additional restriction. And this is explained in the Mishnah Berurah sivkatan ayin vav, that it's also over here midrabbanan lasos came to go and attach it to the garment and wrap it around and go into rishus harabim. So that's also, but it's only also midrabbanan. So he says, Afshu derech malbush, the ain derech hotzah b'kach, because it is a form of wearing it over here, and it's not considered carrying. Nevertheless, mineshin nira kimaremes lahotzi b'shabbos, since it looks like she's doing a trick over here, therefore, the rabbi said it's forbidden. V'da, the elu shtei hasifim, this sif over here, chav gimel, as well as chav dalet, after my rabbisha, while we mentioned that they're dealing with a woman, the halacha is, as the Elu rabbi brings down, hu adin v'ish, is exactly the same between a man and a woman. They just give the common scenario. It's more likely that a woman would actually be doing it, but the halacha is the same for a man or for a woman. Sif Chav Dalet. The Mechaber writes, Yotza be'evin tekuma. A woman is allowed to go out with an evin tekuma. What is an evin tekuma? So an evin tekuma, the Ramah tells us, is Pirisha Aruch, bringing down from the Aruch, that this is an evin yedua. This is a well-known type of a stone that, as we'll see, has the status of being like a kameya mumcha, like a well-proven amulet. Kishi al isha, when a woman wears this evin tekuma, lo sapil. This prevents her from miscarrying. So if a woman were to wear this evin tekuma on Shabbos, there's no problem. Likewise, ubimishkol sheshekalo kinegdo. Kadesh lo tapil. If you didn't have this Evan Tekuma, but you knew exactly how much it weighed, so they would be able to arrange another stone in its place that has the exact same mishkol as the Evan Tekuma, that likewise would function and essentially be able to also prevent miscarriages just like the Evan Tekuma. So either an Evan Tekuma itself or a stone that has the exact same weight as an Evan Tekuma is allowed to be worn by a woman who is pregnant to go and prevent her from miscarrying. And then the Mechaber tells us this is true, va'afilu nonis abru adayin, even if she's not pregnant yet. And we'll see this is a big machlokas. What does it mean if she's not pregnant yet? We'll see this in a moment. But first, let's go to the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Nayin Zayin. This Evan Tekuma, he says, hainu, masha anu korim shtren shus, a certain type of stone, shinosim nosim mu'uboros, that pregnant women would wear this as a skula, but more than a skula, as a tried and proven method to go and prevent them from miscarrying. And this is worth that name of the Taz. He brings down from Bir Marshal al Smag. The Marshal writes, "Cause of a matik on the Smag, Shemotza Shu Evan Chotzotz. This is some sort of a smaller stone, the Cholo Besochu that's hollow in the inside, the Evan Koton Besoche Cholo Ki In Bal Bezug. And there's another stone that rocks around inside, the larger stone that's hollow, just like the clangor inside a bell knocks around and makes a certain noise. The Chaynivra. This is the way the stone was made, and this is brought down the Vio Bel Yerabba." And he says, "Vaminok sheshoklin ezadover kinegedo Evan Tekuma." There is a minok that if you didn't have the Evan Tekuma itself, if you took a stone that was the exact same weight as the Evan Tekuma, shu gamkin mo, this also was effective in preventing miscarriage. Zeo shekosav ubemishkol shekochlo kinegdo. And this is, as I explained, what the Mechaber meant when he said you have a stone that's the same weight. Bisa b'shas, the Gemara says, "Vehu diichavim v'sokel," has to be the exact same weight. Dino shenim tzachevitz me'ilav mechuvon l'mishkal Evan, that you found this stone that is exactly the same weight as the Evan Tekuma. Velo chisru mimenu osifu alav, and not that you added or subtracted from a different stone in order to make it the same size. You have to find it the same exact size l'chavno to work over here. Oz yeshlo skulazu. Then it will have this benefit of being able to prevent miscarriages. But tam b'chozel hatir, why is this allowed? So he writes, mishum dehu kekameya mumcha. This apparently, we don't understand how this works nowadays, but apparently this did have medicinal benefits over here in preventing a miscarriage like a kameya mumcha, and therefore it was allowed to be worn out by this woman. Sivkot Nayin Ches, the Mishnah Berurah says, Elo shechoshesh shemot tisaber v'sapil. When the Mechaber said over here, afilu l'nisabra dayin, we're talking here about this woman thinks she's pregnant. She doesn't know for certain that she's pregnant, and therefore she's allowed to wear this even at that point in time, and this is based upon the Gemara. The issue foot number 47, though, brings down a machlokas over here between the Prima Godim and Shlomo Zalman, Zatzal. The Prima Godim writes that when we're talking here about afilu l'nisabra, it means, as I explained, kavanoso she'ain baru lo she'nisabra. She thinks she may be pregnant, but she doesn't know for certain. Or it's too early to know for certain, but let's say she didn't have her normal menstrual period. But she may be pregnant, but she doesn't know it for certain. However, Shlomo Zalman writes that even if the woman knows for a fact that she's not pregnant, but she wants to use this as a skula that she shouldn't miscarry in the future, she would still be allowed to wear this out. Now we go to Siv Chafhei. The Mechaber writes, Also l'isho shetavir b'shabas sorek alpanel. A woman is not allowed to put makeup on her face. This sorek is like a red dye, a red makeup that she would put, rouge that she would put on her face, mishum tzoveya, because there is the isser over here of tzoveya, of coloring her face, of dyeing her face. Similarly, for this reason, the Mechaber continues and he says, "Mitam zeh asura likol b'shabas." Likewise, a woman is not allowed in this situation to go and put makeup around their eyes, as the Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkot and Pei, likol means a name, to go and color their eyes. "Mitam zeh," and based upon this reasoning as well, "asura latuach al panei botzik." She's not allowed to put various types of dough on her face as well. That when you remove these doughs, kishino talto ma'adim basar, the face gets a reddish, ruddy appearance to it. So all of these applications of makeup are forbidden. Now, let's see inside the Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Nayin Tes, and he explains. This sorek hutzeva edom is like a rouge over here. The issue foot number 48 brings down, is it only a red color, like many of the poskim suggest, or even a white color as well, would be osir, ayin sham. Then he brings down the Mishnah Berurah b'tosefta isa. It says in the tosefta, shalot kanach panel bebege sheish basorek. You can't wipe your face even with a cloth that has on it this makeup. Umashma afal gav delo miskavenes letzvia, even though your intention wasn't to go and color your face, put on makeup, nevertheless, since it will be a psik reishahu, it is forbidden. It will automatically happen when you wipe your face using this makeup-containing cloth, so therefore you're not allowed to do it. The Tamadov, the reason is, kiva the yishu darka b'kach liyafu sisatzma, since a woman wants to beautify herself like this, ayidei tzvias ponim, by coloring her face, by putting on makeup, mechzei shapik utzoveya, it appears like it's soveya, like dying. The issue footers number 49 and 51 deal with all other sorts of applications, for example, nail polish and putting on various types of talc and powders, ayin sham, for what these dinim are. Mishnah Berurah continues. He says, "Abul ish ain darko b'kach lo mikri tzuveh." But a man who doesn't normally put on makeup, so then it in fact is permissible for a man because he's not putting on makeup. So simin shinchav the muter lechol tusim u'shar peros atzovim. Likewise, you can eat berries or various types of fruits that may color your hands or your face. Afagad tzuveh upon the other base achila, even though it will color your skin, that is permissible. He adds further, umikol makom afilu havora sarak apnei isha gamkin eno emid rabbanon. That even using this makeup over here is only din the rabbanon. The insiyam in the raisa or adam vayin in bir halacha. He says technically this is not a din the raisa; it's only a din the rabbanon. In the bir halacha, he brings down opinions to say it's a daraisa. And with that, we will conclude today's shir.